Turn with me today to John, the sixth chapter. St. John, the sixth chapter. And reading in this chapter here, the Lord had laid down some facts that the weak could not receive or would not. And beginning here at the 61st verse, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore saith I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Taking my text here from this verse, and many of his disciples went back. Many of his disciples went back. That's sad. But many of them went back. Last Sunday night, I preached on good doctrine, and I read a little article here I cut out of a Baptist paper. I'm not going to preach the same sermon, but I want you to know that I, for one, believe in Bible doctrine. And I want you to know this, that we're not against people. We're against false doctrine. We love people. Jesus loved people, but he fought false doctrine. And here the charismatic is saying in this article, in this Baptist paper, they had in title, This Should Doctrine Be Sacrificed for Unity. And it said the charismatics say doctrine divide and love unites. Rex Humbert said he fellowship with the Jewish faith, with the Catholic Church, because he's not preaching doctrine. And he said some evangelists criticize other religions or communism. They're always fighting somebody. But he said, I don't fight anybody. Now, a fellow that don't fight communism, not worth the salt, goes his bread. And anybody that sacrifices Bible doctrine for unity is crazy. Because what good is it going to do you to be worshiping together if you left here? I want to go in the rapture. Now, these folks remind me of a crowd of people getting on a big jet airplane to fly halfway around the world, and the pilot says, we have some very gifted men and women on this plane today, so we're going to cut off all the radar, and we're going to go by feelings and prophecy today. And whenever we get off course, well, somebody will bring a message, tell us which way to turn. And we get in a storm, well, if there's a storm ahead, somebody will bring a message, Paul's interpretation, say, turn to the right, there's a storm over here. And the pilot informs all the passengers. And I'm on that. And I said, pardon me, but before you take off, I'm getting off.
I want something. I believe in prophecy. I believe in tongue interpretation, but I have known of human beings making mistakes. Now, the Bible, there's no mistake in it. Whenever God actually speaks, there's no mistake there. And I trust Him totally, but I don't trust everybody else. I want something to stand on. There's one thing that I always held on to. Well, it's two or three things when I was going overseas. I want my passport here, not in the briefcase. I want it right here. And I want my ticket right here. And I want my money belt on with a few $100s in case I get robbed. I'd like to have a few things to hang on to. I don't like the idea of being just blasted out into space. There's a great big out yonder, and God's everywhere, and you know that. He's in the empty space. He's everywhere. But I'd like to have a guy down here and up there and wherever I'm at. I'd like to know when I'm on course and when I'm off course. And you find that in the good old Bible doctrine, it'll tell you when you're on course. It'll tell you when you're off course. It'll tell you how to be saved. As the man with the keys don't know, forget me or all the rest of them. He said the way to be saved is to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I got to have that doctrine, or I'm just out there lost in space. I don't know which way and where I'm going. I like to feel something under my feet every once in a while, something I can hang on to, because you don't shout always down here in this experience. There is valleys. There's mountains to climb. There's time when you don't feel nothing. Trouble and darkness. But if I got this truth, I know I've repented. And I know I've been baptized. And I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know I've been born again. I know I'm living right. Now, that'll help me through. Now, I tell you, I owe my Lord so much. I thought about these folks here walking off and following Him no more. And I want you to know, before we get into this, that they left the world's greatest pastor. There never has been one come up with. But they left. They left the world's greatest and only healer. Now they walked off, the disciples did, and followed Him no more. The world's best pastor. The world's only healer. They walked off and left the world's only savior. I want you to take a look at we human beings can be so ignorant and crazy sometimes. We've got to have a foundation. Now you see, those are fellows that didn't believe in doctrine. Because when He laid the doctrine down plain and hard, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part in me. And they got offended and they walked off. And of course, Jesus let them know quickly He wasn't about to compromise. He wasn't about to stop preaching these great foundational doctrines. If you want to go, you can go. But I am going to keep preaching the doctrine. Praise the Lord. Now, He had made the worlds and everything around about them. And yet they walked off and left God manifested in the flesh. And I know some people just about that bad. Now, one thing about this pastor, he was no respecter of persons. They couldn't find that because it didn't matter to him whether they were adulterers, fornicators, drunk, whoever. He'd go and stop and try his best to save them. They'd let him, he would. And it didn't matter if they're doctors, lawyers, who they might be, it was the same gospel to the blind beggar, to the rich young ruler. Everybody got it exactly alike. So he was no respecter of persons. They couldn't leave him for that reason. They couldn't leave him because he was getting rich off of them. In fact, they stayed broke about half the time. He said, the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. So they didn't walk off and leave him because he was making $150 million a year. They left him because of what he preached. We've lost a lot of people because of what we preach. And we preach it out of the book. And you just well to make up your mind, you're going to face the book somewhere or another. You can dodge it here. You've got a right to say, I won't listen to you, preacher. But on that great judgment morning, when God drags them all out of the graveyard and stands them up in front of him, he's going to open this book and he's going to judge them out of it. Now, there's always has been the people looking for the easy route, the way of least resistance. That always bothered me. You know, we laugh sometimes about somebody saying they're looking for a rich husband or a rich wife. You know, flower beds of ease, everything all lovely. You know. Don't have to worry about nothing. Well, that don't happen too often. Most of us. And I'll tell you, the people that the happiest are those that come up the hard way and live from hand to mouth and stayed together, reared the family. They didn't have riches, but they stayed together and they loved one another. When it's all said and done, they're the happiest people in the world. So, they left God and they left eternal life. They walked off from heaven's gift. Now, when you love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it doesn't matter what he asks you to do, you'll do it. Now, these folks here are talking about, we preach love because love unifies. Now, they're not really telling the truth whenever they say this, because they had rather fellowship the Jews that don't even believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Savior of the world, than to fellowship us. Now, isn't that strange? Here's the difference in us and the Jews. The Jews don't believe he is the Son of God at all. We believe he is. The charismatic here says we'll worship with the Jews, but not with the oneness. We know they believe that he's more than we say he is. They say he's God, manifested in the flesh, and he is. But we can't go that far. We'd rather go back the other way and worship with some folks that don't even believe he's the Son of God. And you see, they meet themselves coming back here. And then they say, we don't fight anybody, we just preach love. We don't preach doctrine, we preach love. But Jesus said, and I believe it's it's John 14:50. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if the commandments aren't doctrine, I'll eat one in brick. That's good doctrine. And he said, if you love me, you lovely, lovely folks that loves everybody and everything except the true church, why don't you listen? What we're saying here, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, you'll preach my doctrine, you'll teach my doctrine, and you will fill the whole town like the apostles did with your doctrine, and you'll keep on even if they put you in jail, you'll still teach it, and you'll still teach it even if they take you out and shoot you, you're still standing for it. Because you're not a bunch of weaklings, you got some backbone, you got some will, you're going to stand with the Bible and not with feeling. If you love me, you'll preach Acts 2:38. Now, I was sitting one day in a camp meeting, and I met my first charismatic preacher. Now, I'm not talking about all charismatics. Some of them is walking closer to this truth than you realize. Some of them coming into it. But I was sitting there and I heard something that just blew my mind. This preacher was up there and he said, I want to tell you one thing. He said, we need to stop preaching doctrine. We need to just preach love. He said, if I saw 12 men coming in to my church, 11 of them was devils, and one was a saint that I'd fellowship all of them to get the one. Of course, I was the next thing. And they called on me to sing. Let me get them. You know what I sing? How'd the goats get in? You let down the bars. You let down the bars. And the goats have all come in, and the sheep's all gone out. And that's exactly what they did. They called it latter rain then. They let the bars down and let the goats in, and the sheep all left. So they wound up nothing but goats. But I guess they had a big love thing. I saw the hippies running around with love written all over the cars back years ago. But you know what there's loving? More pot and more cocaine and all the other things. It's rid of what there's loving. Well, let's look again here now at what we were reading. Jesus was laying it down here pretty good to them. And he said after they went away, and walked with him the more. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? In other words, I'm not backing up an inch. If every last one of you walk off and leave me standing here by myself, I ain't changing. And I don't tell all of you that one little thing. If every last one of you walk off and leave me, I ain't changing. I'm going to preach this apostolic gospel till he comes. But the man that later he gave the keys to said, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where in the world is it to go? If you're not going to follow the Bible, where are you going? If you're just going to be a happy-go-lucky somebody to live it up, well, why don't you just go on and do that and forget about church? Don't hang church on you. Now, what I want to
talk to you from my heart here right now is my debt, your debt to Jesus Christ. I want you to know this one thing. There never has been anyone like him, and there never has been, and I'm not about to leave him because something crosses the grain. I love him. He has the words of eternal life. He's the only one. I've got to meet him. I've got to obey him, and I want to die out to my feelings, my desires, and my wishes, and live to please him. The thing I love about Jesus, when I was an old sinner and wasn't worth the salt that went in my bread, just standing in the gutter, he came by and called me. That's right, he got me out of a mess. A lot of people will get them out of a mess and they'll go back to it. I ain't going back. I'm like the prodigal son. He gave the hog pen a permanent way. Brother, it was goodbye. That's exactly the way I feel about it. Jesus picked me up when I was a nobody, filled me with the Holy Ghost, gave me his name to wear so the devil can't jump on me at every bend of the road, covered me with the blood to where I could stay clean and pure. Now, after he made the sacrifice he made for me, went through hell on earth, every devil in hell was turned loose on him, and then died on an old rugged cross, that I might be saved, and then for me to say I'm looking for easy ways that there'll be no persecution, nothing at all, whenever he hung there naked for me on the old rugged cross, and then here I come looking for an easy route. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer some. Praise God. Aren't you glad he called you? What was you at when he called you? What an honor to be called one of his. We are indebted to him as long as we live. The one thing I like about Jesus, he's always trying to bring the best out of us. Shake us, you know, and just stir us up and get us to pray and to walk with him. Always trying to lift you up, not push you down. Always says, come unto me. I like that. No, they got a course of power, positive thinking. Think and go rich and all these things. But it only goes so far and it stops. But the one I'm following, whenever this thing closes down here, I got another place to go. I want you to know I'm looking out for another world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Praise God. But you that have left this straight and narrow way, or whoever they might be, I want you to know all you're ever going to get here. There's nothing waiting on the other side but eternal punishment. I'm going to a home where the sun will never set. He'll be the sun. Praise God. I love him. I'm in debt to him. I owe him more than a tenth of my income. I owe him my life. Praise God. I don't know about you, but when the troubles loom up and the going gets tough, there's something about walking with him, riding with him, that the storm clouds just suddenly go away and the sun begins to shine and you begin to feel different just because you're walking with him. Now, I'm indebted to him because
Everything I've ever got in this life, I have to give him credit for it. Every blessing, every sermon, all the things he's done for me has caused me to really make up my mind to go his route, not mine, his way. His way. All right. From that time, many of his disciples went back. And they walked no more with him. Judas went back. And he walked no more with him. One night, the demons from hell came in. He couldn't take it no longer, and he committed suicide. Demas, Paul said, has forsaken me, having loved the things of this present world. He's gone. He's gone back. Gone away. So many of his disciples that had followed him, that had watched him heal the sick, and raise the dead, and open blind eyes, and set the captives free, are leaving him now, and going away. It's got to be inside of you to want to follow him all over. Amen. You can't just follow him to the lows and fishes. When it's easy, we'll follow him, but when the going gets tough, we can't follow him. This doctrine you're preaching, Jesus, is going to cause division. We can't go this unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You cannot be my disciple. Unless you do it, you have no eternal life. We can't do that, Lord. There's a lot of things he's done that I would have suggested he do another way, but that was the only way to do it. So he did it the hard way for me. Now like this, to whom shall we go? Where are you going, Judas? Where are you going, Demas? Some of my old buddies that's in hell today, I watched them walk away. Where are you going? You're leaving the church. Where are you going? Going out into sin. Back into the world. Some of them said, we're going to still believe what we always believe. But after the devil gets a hold of them a few years, they change doctrine. They began to drift. I've known some of our preachers were once great men. They left the truth to get the crowd. They let down the standard to get the crowd. And they said, we're always going to believe Acts 2:38. But now I hear they're baptizing either way. Or not at all. Doesn't matter. You see, there's something about it. The devil can steal these marvelous truths and make a man think he's all right because there's a few sick people getting healed, a few people getting saved, but he's got off the true foundation. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. Now this is an old story, but I want to read it here today in Matthew 25. This year holds so much for the church. There's so many prophecies being fulfilled this year. This is the year of the Jewish celebration of their 40th year in the land of Israel. This is a year that the Lord could easily come back because of all the prophecies that's fulfilling this very year. But look at the signs. The time. I know the sun's shining, it's pretty. And it was probably shining like this just hours before God shut the door of the ark and the flood came. It could have been shining like this, the sun coming up looking beautiful. And all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah were talking, well, old Lot, he let his religion finally get the best of him, and he's gone. Him and his wife and two daughters. Some of them wouldn't go. And everything looked good, but suddenly there was an explosion. Foreign brimstone. I looked at some of those old black rocks lying up and down the Dead Sea. Looked like they had been burned. They had for years and years. Just old burned rocks. One morning it was all pretty and everything fine. But you see, the sun was only going to shine until Lot got far enough away. Because Abraham had prayed for it. Lot was in a backslidden condition. But Abraham prayed for it. God was listening to Abraham's prayer. Finally, they went over the last hill. And Mrs. Lot had too much of Sodom and Gomorrah in her. She looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. And suddenly there was a great explosion in all the city. It turned into ashes. 1 hour the sun shined, the next hour, a million people dead. You see, that's the way it's going to be. The Bible said in the end times, sudden destruction will come. Everything will be going on just like it always did. All of a sudden. And when you look at world conditions and the sins, you couldn't blame God for ending it today. This world is rotten. And if he don't hurry up and end it, he's going to have to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now there's been another bill passed. You've probably been reading about it. They're going to begin to come into our Bible school. Anywhere where the government has anything to do with it. If there's a homosexual, you can't get rid of it. If these choir directors, when you find it out, you can't get rid of it in these places. I hope it hadn't got right down to us yet, the church. But anything the government grant any money to, why can't they wake up the judgment is upon those people? Why don't they wake up and say, look, you fellas, you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent. You think of it, if all of those homosexuals at one time would have a revival and repent and turn their face from the wickedness, God would intervene and heal them. Now they won't push down. Like the judge sent this one back with AIDS already, this child to the school. You see, you know what's behind it all? It's the Antichrist spirit. And anything that pleases the devil, the communists in America will send a million letters overnight. All they've got to do is say, that fellow's going down our road. Pack him up. Let the television audience know. Let the radio audience know. And, of course, the news media don't know who all it is writing in. But it's a bunch of communists. It's a bunch of homosexuals. It's a bunch of humanists. It's a bunch of atheists. It's all organized. They're well organized in America now.
Your freedom and mine is soon coming to an end. Much sooner than you think.
To whom shall we go? I'm not going to leave him. I'm going with him. I don't want to leave him. I want to go with him. Forever and ever and ever. Saints of God, if there ever was a time, you need to get out of the business and do your own praying and your own Bible study and your own living holy. You say, well, I read that in the Bible, preacher, but I don't feel it. It doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. You need to read it and pray over it until you're convicted. We got a lot of young folks around here that you're just following these standards because you've seen mom and dad do it. It's time you was praying through and getting a hold of God, getting your own conviction where you can preach it yourself. How can you preach conviction if you don't have it? How can you witness to people if you don't have it in here? Let's witness. Let's tell the world about it. Now, in closing here, I have a book. I was amazed today as I was looking at the many names of the people, preachers of universities that believed in one God, that denied the Trinity. And many of them were Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. I didn't realize that over the years, from the apostolic time, there were so many. There was always a light. There was always somebody fighting against this. And here is a Presbyterian preacher, John Miller. This book was written over 100 years ago. He is God the Trinity, and he denies it all the way through, proves it so beautifully. Along with Philip Hall and others. But this is what he had to say here at the end of his book. At any rate, anybody will admit that if the Trinity be a mistaken heresy, it will give us a new life to unseat it. It will give us a new life to unseat it. And that southward among African lakes, and eastward among the Muslims, that, and among the Unitarians of our own land, among Jews all over the world, the doctrine of one great God, and He incarnate in one man, our Savior, would give us a new power to work, and give us altogether a noble form in which we can cast the enterprise of the gospel. So you see, well, a lot of people says it don't matter. I believe that any truth matters. And if we have error and false doctrine, it clogs the wheels, the progress of the church. And had the whole world stayed with the apostolic doctrine, and never gone into Trinitarianism, this world would be a different world today. The church would be one. The church would have power. The church would be shaking whole nations. But she's divided with every wind and every doctrine. But the Lord in these end times is trying to wake us up, get back to the apostolic doctrine, get firmly established on the truth, and let's pull together and breathe one God, one name, one Lord. Then we're going to see a new freedom. Even us Pentecostals that had the revelation, if we're not careful, it can be a thing of the past. We can sort of shelf it. It's just another great doctrine that but it needs to be preached, it needs to be studied, it needs to be prayed over, it needs to be witnessed about. Tell the world, Jesus is God. Amen.
What a friend. Let's sing that as we're closing. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's our friend today. Praise God. And many walk with him no more. But many are still walking with him and love him. And I'm one of them. Praise God. This group, as sure as the world, I was reading one of the great leaders among the charismatics a few years ago, one of the greatest healing ministers, and settled down, took a church. He got the revelation of one God, baptism in his name. And he mentioned in his last letters to me, he said, the Lamb light has that. He's taken the Pentecostal world back to Catholicism. Platform together, all the leaders, holding one other's hands, and we're all one. We're going to present to the Lord a gift of one church for the year 2000. That happened one of the meetings this week. Now read in my Bible where it said, come out. They're saying, stay in. But the Bible said, come out. I've told them over and over here in Midland, I said, if you stay in, you'll lose your worship. You'll lose the doctrine I taught you. But they said, we feel led to go back and stay there and win some. But some of them 20 years ago was doing that. I don't hear them praising the Lord anymore. They've been swallowed up. If you get this revelation, you've got to worship for the strength of Almighty God is released. You've got to worship in a church where you can feel free to lift your hands and worship God. Speak in tongues. Amen. For you forbid to quench the spirit. We must worship in spirit and in truth. You can't do that in some of those churches. They would lead you out the door if you started worshiping God. And they go back and they lose out. They disobeyed the scripture. The Bible said, come out. Come out. They say, no, we believe in staying in. All right. Now, I've laid it down to you today, and I took the time. We believe in the apostolic doctrine. We believe that church today should be exactly like the first church. We believe the church today should preach the same thing the first church preached. Repentance, water baptism, Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, holiness, everything. The first church preached, we believe, in following that pattern. Now, if you come to church here, you won't find us following any other pattern but this. This is it. And if you find one thing in there that the apostolic church practiced and taught and believed that we're not teaching and preaching here, let me know, would you? And the next Sunday morning or Sunday night, I'll preach it. Anything the first church preached and taught, I'll preach and teach it if every last one of you walks up. Well, let's stand and sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. anyone here who likes to kneel at his feet today, you're welcome to come. At the feet of Jesus Christ. What a prayer.